NBA courtside
podcast.
I give you my hypothesis. I've never been monogamous. Up in your gal's esophagus. Staying on my pimp shit. The gators and the asterisk. Got a money stack that's fatter than hippopotamus. Reaching for the stars. They calling me the astrologist. A motherfucking prodigy. Wait, I mean a prodigy. Maybe a hot commodity. Probably gonna see a lot of me. Ain't got no glass jaw. My body.
Welcome everybody to the NBA Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Carlos. The trade season is upon us. And there's been a few moves already. Obviously, Josh Smith got acquired by Detroit. We already talked about that last podcast. Detroit Pistons have been pretty good post Josh Smith. I'll just leave it at that. And another team in the East that is trying to bolster their lineup, the Cleveland Cavaliers. You know, talking about Michigan, let's talk about Ohio. You got LeBron kind of aiding a few injuries, you know, maybe needs a bacchiatomy.
Doctor said I need a bacchiatomy.
His knees are hurting a little bit.
Tough break.
I can't take it no more.
So I guess the front office is kind of getting the hint that general manager LeBron wants to make some moves and is tired of all the lack of defense. And they went and acquired Iman Shumpert for his defense, but New York Knicks were like, hey, if you're going to take Iman Shumpert, you're going to have to take J.R. Smith and his ridiculous contract.
Smith puts up a three. He misses.
Now, I think this might work out for J.R. Smith from a team standpoint. I don't know about fantasy-wise. I feel like his value playing alongside LeBron and Kyrie and Kevin Love. I don't know if he'll be able to niche out a consistent fantasy output, J.R. Smith. I kind of feel the same way with Iman Shumpert, but Iman Shumpert is dealing with a shoulder injury at the moment. So I think J.R. Smith is a pretty good spot-up shooter, and he can get hot in a hurry. I don't know if Dion Waiters wanted to play that role. J.R. Smith being a former Sixth Man of the Year, I think he would feel comfortable coming off the bench, playing with the second unit. Possibly seeing extended minutes if he is hitting a hot streak, but I don't know how that. I think it's gonna have to pan out. I'm not really sure how it's gonna pan out for J.R. Smith and his playing time there. Now the Cleveland Cavaliers acquired J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert. Oklahoma City in the trade ended up with Dion Waiters, and the New York Knicks got Lou Almanson and center Alex Kirk, along with forward Lance Thomas from Oklahoma City, and they've decided to waive center Samuel Dalembert. Now, once Dalembert got waived, I would say in 12-team leagues, you probably wanted to go and look at a player like Cole Aldrich. I know that his field goal percentage is hit or miss sometimes, and the free throws aren't what they could be. After the New York Knicks waived Samuel Dalembert, you would think that Cole Aldrich is going to be stepping up the production. Looks like he's been getting close to 30 minutes around there, maybe around 25 minutes over the past five games. He's had some decent double-digit rebounding outings, but in January, I don't think his numbers have been that great. I think there was a lot of speculative ads for Cole Aldrich when he had 12-19 in late December against Portland. But since then, he's had some poor shooting outings. Last game against Charlotte, he only had 2 points with 12 rebounds, 2 blocks, shooting a woeful 15% from the field. So, don't know. I think you could probably do better in most standard leagues than Cole Aldrich. Okay, back to the trades. Cleveland decided that they still needed to make a few more moves, so they went ahead and picked up Timofey Mozgov from Denver for 2 protected 2015 first-round draft picks. So Denver's kind of opening up their options there. With the trade deadline ending in February 19th, looks like we're going to have a lot of movement still to come. A few speculative moves that may be coming pretty soon. Looks like Jeff Green is going to be getting sent to Minnesota. So the Grizz are going to get Jeff Green and Russ Smith, and the Celtics are supposed to get Tayshaun Prince. Okay, another move that's possibly on the horizon. Looks like it needs to be okayed on Monday, according to Adrian Wojnarowski. Adrian Wojnarowski.
Nailed it.
Looks like the Grizz will be acquiring Jeff Green and Russ Smith. The Celtics will get Tayshaun Prince and the Grizzlies' first-round pick. And the Pelicans are to acquire Quincy Pondexter and the Grizzlies' second-round pick. So the Grizz, I think this is a good move for the Grizzlies with I think this is a good move for the Memphis acquiring Jeff Green. I don't know what it means for Jeff Green's fantasy numbers. I don't know what it means for Jeff Green's fantasy numbers. That remains to be seen due to the fact that you're playing with guys like Marc Gasol. I know Zach Randolph isn't exactly healthy at the moment. Maybe he does niche a little fantasy spot, kind of a la Rudy Gay in Sacramento, and maybe he comes into his own offensively and, you know, steps up his efficiency level. Jeff Green is like a Swiss Army knife. He can kind of do a little bit of everything, but he doesn't do anything really well. So I don't know. He may be on the buy low, sell high candidates. We'll have to see. Another possible landing spot, there's rumors coming out of Brooklyn that the big three, or the faux pas big three of Brook Lopez, the shell of Deron Williams, and Joe Johnson, looks like Brooklyn is willing to deal any one of those guys to the highest bidder. I know that the Houston Rockets, go ahead and drop the Houston Rockets. That's my team right there. Houston Rockets.
That's my team.
Are looking to step up their point guard game. And although they are satisfied with Patrick Beverley's play, and I think he kind of fits in nicely to what Houston does, especially his defense, but I don't know how offensively efficient he really is. I think that if you could acquire maybe a Deron Williams, I know that there's a lot of rumors going out there that Houston is also looking at possibly acquiring Goran Dragic. Houston has a few picks they can deal, and they've also got some pretty interesting assets. I don't know if maybe you deal a guy like Trevor Ariza, maybe a... I don't know if I want to say Monta Ellis, but I know a lot of teams would be interested in him. He's a younger guy. He's on his first contract, so he's not getting paid a whole bunch. Houston Rockets always have assets, and they're always willing to make moves. And I wouldn't be surprised if Houston did land themselves a legitimate point guard before that February 19th deadline. That being said, that's one of the rumors that's kind of floating out there. The Boston Celtics, after dealing Jeff Green, they also dealt Brandon Wright to Phoenix, so I think that's going to be a decent fit for Brandon. I don't know what he's going to do in Phoenix, but that remains to be seen. It should be pretty interesting. So there's a lot of buzz around Brook Lopez, maybe Jose Calderon. These guys can all be possibly moved. Since we're talking about all of these potential trade rumors and guys getting moved, why don't we go ahead and get into some buy low, sell high candidates?
I like to see when the stocks are high, and I like to see when they're low. That's the big thing.
Interesting.
And sometimes they're really high. Sometimes they're very high. The stocks, you go very high. That's when you
high.
Want. Yeah. That's when you want to sell, when they're very high.
Woo.
You buy them when they're down there below. Uh-huh.
Okay, folks, let's go ahead and get into some buy low, sell high candidates. With all the trade rumors in the air, I think that you probably need to consider possibly selling Deron Williams and or Goran Dragic if the Houston Rockets or an A-list contender lands either point guards, which are basically being shopped around by their teams. Then I think their value is going to take a dip. If Gorin or Darren comes over here and plays in Houston behind James Harden, who is the alpha male and is arguably the MVP of the league this year, you're going to have to understand there's going to be a dip in production. That being said, maybe you want to buy low on guys like Isaiah Thomas or even Eric Bledsoe, seeing that Goran Dragic is being shopped around. Maybe you want to offer somebody a decent trade for Bledsoe, possibly offer somebody something moderate for Isaiah Thomas, and see how that goes. Still very interested to see how Brandon Wright works out in Phoenix. That's going to be interesting. I think obviously a great sell high candidate right now would be Kevin Love. The fact that LeBron James isn't playing and he's going back to his old days of playing, you know, bully ball, putting the ball in the basket, getting some more rebounds. In his last 7 days, he's been averaging 23 points and 15 rebounds, making a little over 1 3-pointer a game. So yeah, I would say sell high on Kevin Love. Unfortunately, we've seen that playing with LeBron James, he's not going to get those same point totals. Maybe you offer him up to somebody in your league that's a little inexperienced, doesn't understand the situation, doesn't follow the Cavaliers as much as most. One guy I think you should also try and sell high on if you can, and that is center for the Minnesota Timberwolves. I can't say his first name. Gorgui Dieng.
Nailed it.
And the reason why I say sell high on Dieng is because it looks like Pekovic is getting close to a return and could be back as soon as next weekend. So those outings of 18 and 12 with 4 blocks against the Spurs, I don't think that's going to hold up. And I think that his overall fantasy production is going to take a big dip once Pekovic comes back into the lineup. Like I said, with Goran Dragic being on the trade block, I think him being a sell-high candidate and possibly buying low on somebody like Isaiah Thomas is definitely something that you need to do going forward. I'd say just watch the news updates, see what pops up. Somebody you might want to sell high on as well in Minnesota, that is Mo Williams or Zach LaVine. Seems that Ricky Rubio is targeting an early January return date, so it being close to mid-January, he could be coming in right around that time that Pekovic is trying to eye his return, possibly next weekend, maybe sooner. So keep your eyes peeled for Ricky Rubio return. I think that's going to about do it for the buy low, sell high candidates. Why don't we go ahead and get into the injury report.
Down, Chuck. He is not getting up. He's had the stingers that have gone through his body. He had just a glazed look in his eyes as he lay there on the floor.
But it's like a boxer who got hit, staggering, and has no balance, was obviously woozy.
And John Lovington is really hurt.
Okay, folks, I'm just going to go down the list in alphabetical order, starting with the Brooklyn Nets. Obviously, Deron Williams, he's out indefinitely with a cartilage fracture in his 12th rib. And although he's listed as day-to-day, you know, a fractured rib, I don't know how well you can run around with a fractured rib. I know they say basketball is considered a non-contact sport, but there's a lot of elbows rubbing right around that midsection area, fighting for position, coming off the screens. I feel like that's something, especially with the fact that Brooklyn's kind of been a little woeful out the gates. They're not really playing for anything in particular. Now that he's on the trade block, are they going to bring him back right away? Are they going to bring him back a little sooner than later to maybe showcase him for a possible trade? I don't know. But nonetheless, he's got a fractured rib, and that is not good no matter where you're from. Going on down the list, Al Jefferson is still dealing with that groin injury. He will not go on the team's two-game road trip and is targeting a February return date. Lance Stevenson is dealing with an injured pelvis slash hip will not play against the Knicks on Saturday as expected and is still listed as out indefinitely. So Lance Stephenson out indefinitely with an injured pelvis. Derrick Rose always seems to be day-to-day with a knee or hip or back or head or thigh, whatever the injury may be. So if I'm a Derrick Rose owner, honestly, I'm looking at the updates every day. Every day. Like, almost to a half an hour before tip-off. Because you never know. I'm not saying that Tibbs is slow on letting the media know that, hey, Derrick Rose isn't going to play tonight due to rest or what have you. But being a Derrick Rose owner, you just never know if he's going to sit on any given night. And that's just the way it's going to go from here on out. And they're trying to keep him healthy for a decent playoff push, which I completely understand. It kills you in fantasy, but, you know, it's kind of the Popovich state of mind, and you're seeing a lot more of this going on in the NBA. Going on down the list for the Chicago Bulls, you still have Dunleavy dealing with an ankle injury, and he's day-to-day. Cleveland Cavaliers, Sean Marion is dealing with a hip issue and is listed as day-to-day. LeBron James could be targeting possibly a January 15th return, so that's sometime in the middle of next week, and he's dealing with his knee and back. Another Cavalier that's dealing with an injury, newly acquired Cavalier, Iman Shumpert, flat top. He's got a shoulder injury, and it's going to be evaluated by doctors. Should be determined how long he's going to be held out, but it looks like he's going to be held out for at least the next couple of weeks. So, looks like LeBron's probably going to be returning before Iman Shumpert. Going on down the list, we got Wilson Chandler is day-to-day with a knee injury. Danilo Gallinari still targeting a late January return from his knee injury. And JaVale McGee, he's just... I don't know what to say with JaVale McGee. With Timofey Mozgov being gone and JaVale being out indefinitely with his leg issues, it's just tough. Looks like you basically opened the doors wide open for the rookie, good old Jusuf Nurkić.
Nailed it.
And he's been filling up the stat sheet pretty nicely, getting you over a couple blocks a game and shooting decent from the free throw line and shooting well from the field. The Houston Rockets still have Terrence Jones out as indefinitely and could be out for a month to 6 weeks. So if you're a Terrence Jones owner, I'd say it's safe to cut bait on him at this point. The Indiana Pacers listed C.J. Miles with a left eye injury. He's going to be day-to-day. George Hill is dealing with a groin injury. He's also day-to-day. The Lakers. Interesting turn of events with Kobe Bryant. Seems that Byron Scott has been trying to rest him a little bit more here and there. But looks like Kobe Bryant, what's the point in playing at this point, Kobe? Are you trying to get the all-time scoring record? You're not going to pass, you know, who do you got? Karl Malone in front of you, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. It's a little outlandish, but Kobe Bryant's getting periodic DMPs, so if I was a Kobe Bryant owner, I'd kind of play him like I do Derrick Rose, maybe just update it on a daily basis, make sure you see where you're standing. The Milwaukee Bucks recently acquired Kenyon Martin. He's listed as day-to-day with a chest contusion. You've got Ersan Ilyasova still out with a concussion. He's targeting a possible Thursday game against the Knicks in London, which will be interesting. Now, talking about the Bucks, I want to go ahead and get into Larry Sanders. There's a lot of uncertainty with Larry Sanders. People are saying that Larry Sanders told the Bucks, hey, I don't want to play basketball anymore. And then those reports were refuted. Now, Larry Sanders hasn't played since before Christmas. He's missed the past 8 games, which was initially described as an illness. But as of last week, kind of morphed into personal reasons. On Tuesday, Larry Sanders appeared on the bench for Milwaukee. He refuted that he was going to be walking away from his four-year, $44 million contract. But afterwards, his vague comments about his flu-like symptoms kind of shifted the speculation into a different gear, I believe. What is true is I'm in the process of trying to do what's best for my psyche and my physical health, Sanders told reporters in Milwaukee after the game. I'm trying to get to the root of a lot of issues and get them corrected. Without getting them corrected, I don't think basketball is something I could do. I'm not one to get into the psychosis or psychoanalyzing NBA basketball players. So that being said, it's hard for the average Joe to relate to a professional athlete when they're dealing with personal issues. And it's one of those things where it kind of feeds into a caste system where you have people who are performing, you know, you're kind of like Herculean gladiator types for our amusement, for our entertainment, and to a certain degree, we want to emulate these athletes, we want to be these athletes. We're jealous that we wish we were talented enough to do what they do. So when we see guys sitting out for personal reasons, I need to deal with my life, like, you know, buck up, you're getting paid this amount of dollars, like, go ahead and get out there. I'm not one of those people. I know there's a lot of guys that would be just very matter of fact and say, you know, Larry Sanders needs to figure it out and get his ass out there and block those shots and get those boards and help these Bucks secure a low seed Eastern Conference playoff spot for Jason Kidd. But I don't know what the issue is. Is it possibly that last year's legal issues with the bar brawl and him throwing bottles, did that possibly get into his psyche? Has that hit home in some sort of way? I don't know. Did it cause him to possibly reevaluate himself and how he's handling his personal, professional career? Possibly. Maybe it's just the fact that the Bucks are doing fine without him and they're not trying to rush him back, so they're just kind of giving him his space. I mean, I don't know. I know his teammate, Chris Middleton, has been quoted as saying, "We're going to support him. He's one of our teammates. He's our brother. We're always going to be there no matter what." I feel like that's one of those lines that you just say just to say it. But, yeah, Milwaukee going through some interesting stuff with Larry Sanders. Obviously, Jabari Parker is out indefinitely with his ACL injury. Going on down the list in the injury report, Shabazz Muhammad has an abdominal injury and is going to be listed as day-to-day. Kevin Martin is targeting action possibly as soon as next weekend, along with Pekovic and possibly Rubio. The Orlando Magic's Evan Fournier is dealing with minor knee issues and is listed as day-to-day. Tobias Harris has got an ankle issue and is also day-to-day. Philadelphia 76ers have basically told Andre Kirilenko, who has not returned to the 76ers camp since being traded by the Brooklyn Nets, that he can basically kick rocks. He's been suspended by the 76ers, so no need to keep him on your active roster. Robin Lopez is targeting a February return from that hand injury, and that's good news for him. Just around the corner, Manu Ginobili is listed as day-to-day with his back, and Kawhi Leonard is beginning light shooting, but still can't fully extend his hand and is targeting a late January return. And DeMar DeRozan could be returning sooner than later, so if he was dropped on your waiver wire, that might be somebody you want to look to pick up and plug in. Although the Raptors have been doing pretty decent without DeMar DeRozan, I feel like he's definitely a must-own fantasy option. And once he comes back into play, Terrence Ross owners can pretty much cut bait on him. I think that's going to about do it for the injury report. Why don't we go ahead and let's talk about some guys that are getting let go, guys that are getting cut off of fantasy teams, guys that need to be fired. Let's go ahead and get into the drops list.
I don't care, Bob. You're fired. You're fired! Clean out your locker at the club, Bob. You're fucking fired!
Okay, folks, let's go ahead and get into some of the guys that are getting let go on fantasy teams. First guy on the list is Danny Granger. Danny Granger is playing close to at least 20-25 minutes in January, but he hasn't tapped more than 5 points, which is kind of disappointing after having 21 points in late December against Orlando and 18 points against Memphis on the 27th. So there's a lot of speculative ads for Danny Granger. If you were hoping that maybe he was going to show some life over there in Miami, kind of show you a little bit of what he used to do when he was fully healthy in Indiana, but I think it was just a mirage. Now everybody's kind of taking notice and letting him know that they no longer need his services on their fantasy teams, at least. Another small forward that's getting let go on a lot of fantasy teams, and that is Wesley Johnson. Since he's dealing with a hip injury and the fact that he's only averaging close to 10 points and 4 rebounds, I can obviously see that there's no need to even have Wesley Johnson on the team. Probably the number one drop in most leagues is Larry Sanders. His ambiguity with when he's going to be returning to action and the fact that you can't really get an idea as to what the issue is.
I mean, talk about a guy with problems.
Obviously, it seems more psychological than physical at this point. It's just too many question marks surrounding Larry Sanders. Somebody that you may want to pick up in his place if you are a Larry Sanders owner would be either Zaza Pachulia or Larry Henson. Another guy that's getting let go in a lot of fantasy leagues, unfortunately, Detroit Pistons' own Jody Meeks. After knocking down 9 three-pointers against the Orlando Magic on the 30th of December, scoring 34 points, he hasn't scored more than 15 points in over 6 games for the Pistons. That being said, they're still 7-1 in their last 8. Jody Meeks, if he's not knocking down more than like 3 three-pointers for you on any given night, he doesn't do too much else. He's not much of a facilitator. He'll occasionally get a steal here and there. He doesn't rebound the ball particularly well. He doesn't turn the ball over either. He does shoot a very nice clip from the free throw line. So I can see where people are deciding to let go of Jody Meeks. Another guy that's getting let go that I recently acquired, and I'm probably going to have to cut bait, that is Shabazz Muhammad dealing with an abdominal injury. He didn't play Saturday. There's not any recent updates on how serious the abdominal injury is. I would say hold on to him if you have a more lucrative ad on the waiver wire that you want to take his place, then go ahead and cut bait and go ahead and jump onto the next soaring fantasy option. But the fact that there hasn't been any recent updates on Shabazz's injury, I feel like he's a pretty decent player. He had 30 points late December against Utah, had 19 against Denver January 5th. So, I mean, he can get you some decent production. He'll get you a few rebounds there, here and there. Last couple of weeks, he's been averaging a little over 1.5 three-pointers a game, 16 points, 4.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists, half a steal, shooting around 87% from the free throw line and a little over 45% from the field. So, Muhammad's not a bad fantasy option overall. I just think that it'd be tough if you end up dropping him and you don't have some definitive timetable for his return. If you got an IR spot on your team, I'd say maybe you might want to hold on to him as opposed to cutting bait like most people are doing as of late. Another guy that's getting let go, that is Evan Turner. I feel like Evan Turner is probably going to be getting an uptick in minutes and possible production with Jeff Green being traded to Memphis inevitably after the Monday NBA process, if you will. So although he may be on the transaction trends for drops in Yahoo Fantasy Leagues, I don't agree with that trend, and I think that he may be a sneaky option with Jeff Green being gone, because he can play the shooting guard and he can play the small forward. You might want to maybe hold on to Evan Turner if you've got him. Or if not, just put him on your watch list and see how he does in Jeff Green's absence. Another guy that's getting let go is Terrence Ross. He's been putting in a couple of woeful games. His minutes have been dropping since the beginning of January. He was getting over 30 minutes in December for a good couple weeks while DeRozan was out. As of recently, he's just been cold from the field. Can't really seem to buy a bucket. Last couple of weeks, he's only averaged one and a half threes, close to 10 points, 4 rebounds, only 1 assist, shooting a woeful 34% from the field. I completely understand them dropping Terrence Ross, and to be honest with you, I dropped Terrence Ross on a few leagues that I had him in. After I saw the DeMar DeRozan went down with an injury, I went and picked up Terrence Ross as a speculative ad. He seemed to pan out fairly decent, but since the new year, the production hasn't been there. He hasn't been able to find the basket, so he's having a little difficulty. So, yes, I concur. It'd be safe to drop Terrence Ross in standard leagues, unless you're in the deepest leagues. I'd say maybe hold on to Terrence Ross, although even in the deeper leagues, I'm sure you can probably find something a little more. I'm sure you could find something a little more fulfilling for your fantasy team. Another guy that's getting dropped in a lot of fantasy leagues is Tyler Zeller of the Boston Celtics. Even with Brandon Wright being gone, I feel like Kelly Olynyk and Jared Sullinger are the safer plays at that position, being power forward slash center. Kelly Olynyk, I think defensively, just doesn't seem to have the wherewithal to handle the bigger postmen in the league, and he's been getting beaten up on the block. As I've watched a few Celtics games, and he just doesn't have the meat on his bones, man. I mean, let's be honest. He's a little thin. He's a little inexperienced. He's a rookie. He's got to learn his footwork. He's got to learn how to play the post, and his production has taken a big dip as of late. So he's not doing as well as he once was. Once he took over Kelly Olynyk's spot to start the past couple of weeks, Tyler Zeller has only averaged a little over 20 minutes a game, shooting around 53% from the field. He's making a good percentage from his free throw line, from the free throw line at 93%, close to 10 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, maybe half a steal and half a block, and half a turnover. That's not that bad in maybe 12 to 16 team leagues, but if you're looking at a 10 to a 8 team league, I don't think that Zeller is worth rostering. Another guy that's getting dropped is Jose Calderon. Recently, he's been getting his minutes cut for other younger guards like your Galloways and what have you, that maybe your Tim Hardaways, and Calderon having a poor outing against Charlotte on the 10th, only scored 7 points with 1 3-pointer and 2 assists, 3 turnovers. Phil Jackson is saying that he expects he'll play better, and Jackson is probably saying that because he plans on trading him or using him as a trade asset. There's been a lot of rumors of other teams that have been interested in Jose Calderon's services. So if you know somebody who's dropped Jose Calderon, I'd say put him on the watch list. Possibly see if maybe he gets picked up by a team that may be a little bit more of a fantasy suitable situation for Jose.
Jose!
I think that's going to about do it for the drop list. Why don't we go ahead and get into the ad list, the leads, the hot pickups as of recently. Let's go ahead and get into the leads.
You got leads. You can't close the leads you're given. You can't close shit. You are shit. Hit the bricks, pal, and beat it, because you are going out.
Okay, folks, let's go ahead and talk about some guys that are getting added in most fantasy leagues. Let's go ahead and start off with one of the fan favorites, good old-fashioned neck tattoos. Mr. James Johnson, after having a 15-10 outing with 4 assists in 2 blocks, playing 36 minutes, which is the highest he's played in over a couple weeks. A lot of folks are going to jump on the bandwagon. I'm not going to be as quick to jump on the bandwagon as the fact that he had 7 points and 4 rebounds the night before, although he did have an outstanding 4 blocks against Charlotte. So, I don't know, James Johnson, I've picked him up, I've dropped him earlier in the year. He's just one of those kind of defensive Swiss Army knives where, you know, on any given night he can get you like 2 or 3 steals, he'll get you like 2 or 3 blocks. And he's definitely one of those plug-and-play guys that I love to play at, like, the end of a rotisserie week, at the end of a rotisserie league week where, you know, maybe you're down a couple of steals or you're down a couple blocks. You know, he can definitely help you out in some of those defensive categories. So I totally understand why people will be high on good old-fashioned James Johnson. Another interesting pick up here for the waiver wire. J.R. Smith scoring 27 points on 11 of 23 shooting, including 3 threes with 5 rebounds, 1 steal, and over 42 minutes in Friday's blowout loss to the Warriors. I don't know how to read that. It being his first game in a, his second game in a Cleveland Cavaliers uniform. I don't know, you know, it was a blowout loss. They got beat pretty handily by the Golden State Warriors. Is he going to get that consistent playing time? Is he going to be a starter? Is he going to be coming off the bench? You know, there's a lot of questions surrounding that whole Cleveland Cavaliers team. That being said, you got room for him on the end of your bench. You want to stash him. You know, if he starts getting hot, I feel like LeBron James is a magnificent facilitator. He reminds me a lot of, like, say, maybe a Magic Johnson on steroids. And J.R. Smith, statistically, for his career, has been a decent spot-up shooter. So if he's going to be catching wide-open passes behind the three-point line, with LeBron James kind of driving in and having the defense kind of collapse on him, you know, he could be one of those sneaky one-trick ponies, J.R. Smith, where he gets you a lot of points, a lot of threes, and doesn't do much of else except for maybe miss free throws and turn the ball over. But, yeah, I could see how people would be wanting to add J.R. Smith to their fantasy lineup. Another guy that's getting added off of the waiver wires, probably dropped after losing his starting job to Tyler Zeller. We just talked about him in the drops list. That's Kelly Olynyk scoring a game-high 23 points against the Raptors on Saturday. He had 5 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 assists, 1 block to go along with 2 threes, shooting just around 73% from the field. Past couple of games, he had a game against Indiana on the 9th of January, and then a game against Toronto the next night. He got a little over or close to 30 minutes a game there. I don't know how to trust Brad Stevens and how he's divvying up the minutes between Sullinger, Olynyk, and Zeller. I feel like it's a crapshoot. It's hard to own any one of these guys. I'd say the safer bet on owning any one of those guys would be Sullinger. But that being said, if you want to, you know, pick up Olynyk speculatively and just, you know, stash him and see how he pans out, I'm for it. I've owned Olynyk earlier in the season, and I had to put him on the waiver wire and let him go for other better options. But if you're thin at center and you need help on a big who can possibly knock down some threes for you, Kelly's not a bad option. Another guy that's getting added off the waiver wire, surprisingly, is Houston Rockets' own. Go ahead and drop the Houston Rocket theme music right there. That's Donatas Montiunas.
Nailed it.
He's double-doubled against the Jazz in a pretty easy win over the weekend. He had 14 and 10 with three steals, one assist, and one three-pointer made. You know, Houston Rockets are interesting in the fact that they're still staying pretty productive with Josh Smith. And when they acquired Josh Smith, he started for them right away. They won that overtime victory against Memphis. And then something happened where Kevin McHale realized that you can't play Dwight and Josh together the same way that when you were playing Josh Smith along with Greg Monroe and Andre Drummond. It's just a luxury of rebounding riches that you don't need. It kind of bogs down the block. It doesn't really help you from an offensive spacing standpoint. And the Houston Rockets are definitely one of those teams that likes to spread the floor, move the ball around, and get some good three-point spacing so they can get to some knockdown shooters. Now, Montiunas can knock down the three-point ball. Does he do it on a regular basis? On the season, he's only averaging just under a half of a three-pointer made, but in the past two weeks, So Donatas Montiunas will get maybe close to 12 points a game. He may be 5 rebounds, sprinkle in a three-pointer here or there. I don't think that the 14 and 10 double-double is going to be there every night. There's not going to be as many rebounds with Josh Smith and Dwight Howard playing. And I can see how some people would be hyped about adding Montiunas after that double-double. I think it's maybe a little bit of a mirage. Another big that I'm really big on that I've added in deeper leagues and I'm considering adding in standard leagues, and that is Hassan Whiteside. I've watched him play more minutes for the Miami Heat, and he's one of those guys where it kind of reminds me of when Brandon Wright was playing for the Dallas Mavericks earlier in the season, where he could just do a little bit of everything. He'd get you some rebounds, he'd get some high field goal percentage field goals, although he wouldn't like wow you with his point production. It was more about the consistent rebounding numbers and the blocks. Now, you go down the game log of Hassan Whiteside and just look at his block numbers. He had 4 blocks against Portland on the 8th. He had 5 blocks against Brooklyn on January 4th. He had 2 blocks against Houston, 3 blocks against Indiana, 2 blocks against Orlando. So he's a shot blocking machine. Now, in that time span, he's also had, 7 rebounds here, 7 rebounds there, 6 rebounds here, 10 rebounds there, 8 rebounds. You look at his field goal percentage, and it is pretty decent. On the season, Hassan Whiteside is averaging a little over 66% from the field, and these past couple of weeks, his point production is close to 10 points at right around 8 rebounds and looking at over 3 blocks a game. So if you need help in the center position and you've got room for him, I'd say go pick up Hassan Whiteside. He's definitely somebody you want to capitalize on. Another guy, since we're talking about bigs, let's go ahead and talk about a few more rookie bigs that are kind of etching out some playing time in their respective teams. First one up is Rudy Gobert. He's been playing pretty decent for the Utah Jazz. Gobert is one of those defensive specialists as well. On the season, he's shooting off from the field right around 65% from the field and is averaging a little over 2 blocks a game. Last couple of weeks, Rudy Gobert has been averaging right around 8 points, 8 rebounds, and a little over 3.5 blocks a game. The blocks are tremendous. The fact that he can shoot, a little over 60% from the free throw line, it's not killing you. He's not like Andre Drummond or Dwight Howard. And his field goal percentage these past couple of weeks, right over 70%, is outstanding. If you can pick up Rudy Gobert, he is a great buy low candidate type of guy. Just pick up off the waiver wire, plug and play. If his minutes get cut to the point where he's no longer productive, you can just let him go But, man, I'd say right amount. With the block numbers alone, having a guy like that can really win you that particular category. When you're in a deeper league, having guys like that on your team are essential. Another rookie big that I recently added on one of my fantasy teams, and that is Yusuf Nurkić. Yusuf Nurkić.
Nailed it.
And that is the center for the Denver Nuggets, with JaVale McGee being out indefinitely with that leg injury, and Timofey Mozgov being sent to play with his former Russian national team coach, Blatt, over in Cleveland. Yosef is getting a little bit more of a window and playing time, and he's making the most of it. His last outing against Sacramento, he had 16 points, 8 rebounds, 3 blocks. On the season, his field goal percentage is a little under 50%. His free throw percentage is a little over 67%. The past couple of weeks, he's been averaging close to 12 points, close to 7 rebounds, and close to 3 blocks a game, shooting just around 75% from the free throw line and a little over 50% from the field. So those are great low-end numbers. You got to love the block numbers. I think with Mozgov gone, his numbers are only going to increase, and I think he's got a lot of upside. That being said, Mozgov is being shipped to Cleveland. Now people are going to speculatively add Timofey, as he made a 9.8 rebound, 1 block debut for the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm not that impressed with Mozgov at this point, and I know that once LeBron James comes back, his offensive numbers are definitely going to take a hit. A few more guys that are getting added. One former Houston Rockets point guard that is getting added in a few fantasy leagues, and that is Jeremy Lin. He had 18 points with 3 threes, 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 steals, and 2 blocks against Orlando in a victory. Jeremy Lin is not going to be the type of player to get you consistent block numbers or even steal numbers. He'll get you, he's averaging on the season just over 1 steal a game, a little under 5 assists a game, and a little under 11 points per game on the season. Now let's look at his past 2 weeks of averages, and he's pulled up his point total from 10 or 11 points to 14 points, 3 pointers, he's making right around 1.5, he's getting you a little over 1.5 steals, and he's giving you close to a block a game at 0.7 for a point guard, shooting guard eligible player. That's not too bad. I could see if you're in a deeper league, you want to add somebody like Jeremy Lin, you need help at the point guard position. I don't see why not, with Ronnie Price missing open layups and dunk attempts. I could see Jeremy Lin getting a little bit more playing time, as long as Kobe Bryant's not all up in his grill, screaming at him to intentionally foul towards the end of games. Speaking of guards, we've got Jarrett Jack getting added in a lot of leagues, with Deron Williams, the news of his broken 12th rib there. Jarrett Jack is being a speculative ad in a lot of fantasy leagues. Although he had a poor outing against Detroit on the 10th of January, he had a decent double-double the night before against Philadelphia with 14 points, 10 rebounds. And over the past couple of weeks, Jarrett Jack has been averaging a modest 12 points, 4 rebounds, 6 assists, and 1 steal a game. The field goal percentage kind of makes me a little weary. Past couple weeks, he's shooting under 40% from the field at 36%. And the turnover numbers, if you're in a turnover league, averaging just over 3 turnovers the past couple weeks for Jarrett Jack. That's not something I'm really happy about, but I understand a lot of times when you go into a fantasy, NBA fantasy, you tend to punt turnovers just because. My idea is, look, If you're going to have a guy who's got a lot of high usage rating, he's got the ball in his hand a lot, he's going to be productive. But the productive players tend to turn over the ball because they have the ball more than most players who don't have the ball. And I prefer to have guys on my team, on my fantasy team especially, that have the ball in their hands, that are creating or scoring or rebounding, whatever the case may be. If they don't have the ball, then they can't really do too much now, can they? Let's talk about one more big that's getting added, and I can understand this speculatively, and that is J.J. Hixon over for Denver. The fact that Timofey Mozgov is gone, and he's going to be getting a little bit more play at power forward and center. He scored 16 points against Sacramento. He had 11 and 10 against Orlando on the 7th of January. He had 16 and 11 against Minnesota. I'd like for him to block some more shots. He's only averaging a little under a block a game for the past couple weeks. Hopefully those numbers increase with Mozgov's absence. But I fully endorse adding J.J. Hixon in deeper leagues for now. In standard leagues, I'd say maybe stash him on your bench again. And of course, let's close out the added list with somebody who's going to be coming back, a high usage player, and that is Kevin Martin for the Minnesota Timberwolves, saying that they could possibly be back as soon as next weekend from that injured wrist. They'd be huge for the Timberwolves. Could eat into the production of guys like Shabazz Muhammad and even Thaddeus Young, who have been getting an uptick in point production there. That being said, if he's available in your leagues, you got room for him, you could stash him for a week or so, I'd say go ahead and pick up Kevin Martin. He shoots well from the free throw line. He'll get you some three-pointers, he'll get you some points. Won't do too much of those defensive stats, but if you need threes, you need scoring, and you need somebody to bolster your free throw percentage, I'd say go ahead and pick up Kevin Martin. Okay, folks, well, I think that's going to about do it for the podcast. I think we talked about some Timberwolf players, got into what the Cavaliers mindset is, trying to get more defensive. Talked a little about maybe some possible trade rumors, maybe Dragic going to Houston, maybe Tony Roten's out there, possibly getting moved to some potential contenders. I think this season is going to be very interesting with the trades, because with Miami being dismantled and the Spurs are kind of injury riddled right now, it's leaving everything open, and I think a lot of teams are kind of salivating at the opportunity to really take it to the next step and really capitalize on, you know, what was a perennial contender in the Miami Heat no longer, and the Spurs kind of on their last leg. I think the West has opened up. The Atlanta Hawks being in the East, being the number one team as of now, that's very interesting over there. So teams are like, look, we can capitalize, we can bolster our team, and let's go for now. Let's trade all of our assets, let's get rid of our picks, and let's go for now. Let's try and get that ring this year. It's going to be an interesting season. It's going to be an interesting trade market. I'm going to try and update these fantasy podcasts on a weekly basis. If I can't get the co-hosts, be it Big G or Justin J-Rock, then I'm going to have to fly solo. But I want to keep dropping the podcast for you three or four listeners all across the world. I appreciate y'all. You can go ahead and catch me on Twitter at @CARLOS_GARZA11. And you can go ahead and follow the fantasy podcast page on Facebook at NBA Fantasy Podcast. Until next time,
thank
folks.
Thank y'all for tuning in to Blame Rhino. First of all, I thank Avenue Avery for doing what he had to do majorly. easily. Brought me from the minors, put me up in the major leagues. I'm so cold, I'm only playing for the Maple Leafs. Things are now in sight instead of just being make-believe. Now I see some openings, about to fill up the vacancies. They tell me break your legs, so I'ma break your knees. You just wait and see, and make some way for me. It's the awakening, it's time to make a mark. I got the finishing line, I just need a place to start. Cause I will take apart your fucking face and heart. I'm always biting you back, it's just fucking faking bark. Wrecking anybody, quit tripping and go and get them all. About to wreck the game, just slipping at some Rohibanol. So when you slip and fall, I'm about to get the call. Game time, coin toss, white boys kicking off. The white boys in the building tonight.
Hey.
Oh, what a feeling, I'm feeling life.
Hey.
You ain't even gotta bring your paper out. We the white boys of the year, this tape is on the house.
The
white boys in the building tonight. Look at how I'm chilling, I'm killing this mic. You ain't even gotta bring your purses out. We the rappers of the year, this verse is on the house.
We in the house, house. We in the house.
Yep.
White boys in the building tonight. Yeah, there's high boys on the ceiling tonight. I got a bud in my left and some bud in my right. You know I'm getting fucked at the end of the night. 9 times out of 10, the bitch ain't even white. 5 times out of 6, the place ain't even mine. 2 times out of 4, she probably just a hoe. A few times out of more, I chuck the deuce at the door. But every single one of them are covered up in comp sales. And that's just a bitch in a nutshell. I'm out the place, I'm living without a trace. Well, except my DNA that's dripping out down your face. By the time you find a girl, you know that I've owned. I'm high hydro, smoking with white rhino. And white D, who's white just like me. Provide the right beat, will strike like lightning.
Dirty. The white boys in the building tonight.
Hey.
Oh, what a feeling, I'm feeling life.
Hey.
You ain't even gotta bring your paper out. We the white boys of the year, this tape is on the house.
We in the house.
The white boys in the building tonight. Look at how I'm chilling, I'm killing this mic. You ain't even gotta bring your purses out. We the rap.